Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I am David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here today with Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, Bruce. Been fighting a nagging cold for the last little while, so just can't seem to shake it. But hanging in there. Got some rain, which is good. We needed some rain in Alberta, so.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, man, today we are going through the Oilers players one by one and picking them apart, as is our want, is our habit. Today it's Jesse Puljujärvi with the Keep, Hold, or Fold podcast, Bruce. So this is where we look at each guy and say, you know, should the Oilers keep them? Should they hold and maybe move them, maybe not? Or should they fold and just look to get rid of them? And we'll use our usual format for this: one good thing, one bad thing, and one number. What is your good thing, Bruce, about Jesse Puljujärvi?
Well, he's young and he's talented. And both those things are rare enough on the Edmonton Oilers, especially the young part. For all that we keep hearing the refrain about how the Oilers are a young team, yada, yada, yada. The fact is that Puljujärvi was 20 throughout last year. The second youngest player on the team was 22, and there was only a handful of guys under 25. And as for talented, well, he's got the talent of a fourth overall draft choice. He's big. He's he can skate. He can shoot the puck. You know, he's got lots of raw tools. And the question is how well he's putting those together and how you know, how that's coming along. But the good thing is sort of the potential of the player.
Yeah, my good thing is very similar to that. And I'm going to go so far to say, Bruce, is that at times in Edmonton, we've actually seen that talent. We've seen those moments where Puljujärvi shows his shot, passing ability, his skating ability, his defensive play. You know, the big question is really, like, is he going to – the big worry is he going to be like Yakupov, like another high draft pick, really high draft pick, who you absolutely have to cash in on at the NHL level if you're a scout in an organization? Is he going to be another Yakupov or Magnus Pjärvi or even Sam Gagné, for that matter, who just does never really pan out for the Edmonton Oilers, and it's just a huge wasted opportunity for the organization? And or is he going to be like one of these players who just takes a few years, like Dylan mm-hmm. Strome? You know, he took up mm-hmm. was in his fourth year. This is going to be Puljujärvi's fourth year. It was only in Dylan Strome's fourth year that he panned out as a player. Almost got a point per game for the Chicago Blackhawks last
only
year.
Only after his original team got rid of him, of course, yeah. Which is the question in this current case.
Sure is, because there's all these rumors that Puljujärvi and his agent may want out of town, and then there's like a little back and forth on that. Jonathan Drouin, though, Bruce, is a player, another one who broke out in his fourth year, another recent top draft pick mm-hmm. who took 4 years to get it going. And he got going in Tampa, not without a lot of heartache and a lot of back and forth and agony and twisting and shrieking before mm-hmm. Jonathan Drouin got it going. So, you know, our friend Low Tide always says, 5 years, you can't really rate a draft until 5 years after that draft. Well, right. We can't really rate, by that standard, we can't really rate Jesse Puljujärvi until 5 years. Mm-hmm. And it's only been three. So we've got another year here, his fourth year. And I've seen enough in the player, Bruce, that I still have a inkling that he's more Dylan Strome than he is Neil Yakupov. And just because of that, we also know with big men, mm-hmm. you know, that size, that sometimes it takes a little longer to get them going. Yeah. For some big men like Jason Bonsignor, to bring up a blast from the horrid past.
Fourth overall pick, just like Jesse.
Yeah. The Oilers have just been such a terrible drafting team since 1985. Anyway, I'm kind of bringing in another bad thing there. I've moved on to a bad thing. But what is your bad thing about Puljujärvi, Bruce?
Well, my bad thing has to be really how the organization has mishandled this player.
Yeah.
Really from the beginning. You know, I think that a little bit they got sucked in by the hype. In his draft year, it was basically all of the rating services. It became an echo chamber. There's three guys in this draft. There's Austin Matthews, Patrick Laine, Jesse Puljujärvi. They're all NHL-ready players. They should just be plug-and-play players. At age 18 next year, they're the obvious top three. And the Oilers, when they lost the lottery, fell from second to fourth. It seemed like they weren't going to get them. And when Columbus passed over him to take Pierre-Luc Dubois. Thank you. It's a brain cramp. Dubois. When they passed over him, it was like the Oilers couldn't run up to the podium fast enough to mispronounce their new player's name. Another Peter Chiarelli classic moment.
What did he say?
Puljujärvi. Jesse Puljujärvi. And he sort of mumbled and stumbled, and it was not a good look. Anyway, that aside, it was almost... anyway, and there was other obviously very good options available. Matthew Tkachuk, I know, is a player that you covet, being the obvious one. And anyway,
I really like Sergachev in that.
But draft. They came to an agreement with his agent that, near as we can tell from a distance, involved agreeing when they signed him that he would come over right away, that they would commit to playing him in the first half of the season so that the first year of his entry-level contract would be vested. As opposed to, say, a recent Finnish player from the year before from the same World Junior team, Mikko Rantanen, who came over and was buried in the AHL for all but 9 games and his contract was allowed to slide. And in Rantanen's case, like, he was a year plus older than Puljujärvi, I better say it right, after at the same point in time, because the Oilers rushed ahead and made this commitment to the player, and he wasn't ready. He scored a goal in his first game, but he looked out of place, learning the NHL game on the fly. The Oilers were playing well. He had his moments. I mean, he's a talented young guy, but Todd McClellan lost confidence in him. By game number 40, which was the game in which he did vest his contract, I think he played 3 minutes. And the next day, they sent him down to Bakersfield, never to be seen again that season. And he was okay in Bakersfield, but really he should have spent the whole year there. Or maybe some would argue he should have spent that whole year in Finland.
That's what most European players do at that age, right? They just stay in Finland. Mm-hmm. Even some of the very best players, or most of the best players. It's just more recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Oilers' way is to rush guys.
Rush them right in there. And so
I didn't like Puljujärvi in that first year, Bruce, for a second. He was with Draisaitl and Maroon on a line when he first came up. Mm-hmm. I thought, hey, this is kind of working. Like, this line works. Like, and I think he had some success there. And then, of course, McClellan could never keep a line more than a few weeks. And the constant shuffling of this player from line to line to line, it was just relentless, absolutely relentless.
Anyway, so the second year they sent him down to start the year, and then they called him up. And he got hot for a little while. I think he had something like 9 goals in 21 games or something, which, you know, that's a 30-plus goal pace over the course of a full season. And it looked like he's arrived. And then in the whole second half of that year, his play tapered off. We don't really know what all the underlying reasons were, but he wound up with 12 goals on the year in 65 games when done. So I guess that means he had 3 in his last 44, numbers along that line. And then...
I know what went wrong, Bruce. I'll get into what went wrong.
Okay, and then this year they did the up-and-down thing where they had him and Kyler Yamamoto, and they were convinced one or both of these guys were going to be in their top 6 this year, and neither one of them proved to be ready. As I recall, Jesse started the year down and Yamamoto up, and then they switched, and then anyway, they sent Jesse back down to the minors in mid-November and said, we've got a plan for you. We're going to send you down there for a few months, if not the rest of the season, and really give you that foundation to your game. And then Ken Hitchcock got hired. Bob McClellan got fired. And the first thing Ken Hitchcock says, well, if this player is a project. I'm going to take charge of this player, and we want to bring him up and get him working here under me directly. And it all sounded good, but it all went sideways. And, of course, it didn't help that by the time they called him up, not only had the coach changed, but Puljujarvi's possibly best friend on the team, Ryan Strome, who had been credited for being something of a mentor and his regular line mate, had been traded for, well, I mean, that's another issue. They just didn't get a player back that was the quality of Ryan Strome. And they wound up with a bottom six that really had no strong offensive centers on it. So you either push the guy into the top six before he's ready for it, or you put him in the bottom six on a line that's got nobody who can score. And there's really a no-win situation. So it was just, to me, poorly thought through. And the guy's been on a yo-yo for really the entirety of his pro career. And I'm not at all surprised that his agent is clearing his throat and saying maybe it'd be better service to be in another NHL city.
You know, what I don't like about his handling, Bruce, is, and this is another situation where we could see him traded, Puljujärvi, without ever seeing him actually tried at his best spot in the NHL. Like every team, yes, that Puljujärvi's ever played on, they've always put him, I'm sure, on the left half wall on the power play where he can unleash his great one-timer shot. And he's also got a pretty good vision for passing the puck from there. Mm-hmm. In his entire 3 years with the Oilers, Bruce, he's never played there. Put him there. They've never put him on that spot and said, oh, even on the second unit. Yeah. Okay, we're going to put you out here. Just see what you can do for, 10, 15 games. Build you, maybe score a goal, build some confidence. Like, what kind of knuckleheaded mishandling of a player from Todd McClellan and Ken Hitchcock?
We're going to put five lefties on the first unit. We're going to leave you on the bench.
I'm not even saying on the first unit necessarily, like you got to earn your time, but they were putting him on the power play. They weren't putting him in on this choice spot. Like, these are veteran coach. Like, I'm here to tell you, veteran coaches sometimes get it wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're thinking. And why wouldn't you try him there? Why wouldn't you play him there? You're trying to build this player's confidence, see what he can do. Well, here's one thing that he's always done really, really well. In fact, it's the one thing as much as anything that got him drafted fourth overall in 2016. And you're not going to use them there. It just drives me crazy when that kind of stuff happens. So yeah, the usage of Puljujärvi has been, I would also have used him on the penalty kill.
Yes.
And cause absolutely, he's a big guy, big rangy guy,
long stick,
great long stick. Ken Hitchcock was raving about what a good stick he has. Well, you have him on the third or the fourth line at times. He's out of the game most of it, like for long periods of time because of special teams play. Put him on the PK. I think he'd be good on the PK. He looks to me like he's never been terrible defensively. He's always been at least okay. And I don't know why they didn't do that. There's another thing. Like they might get rid of a player without ever really seeing what the player can do. And I'm not saying necessarily playing with McDavid or Draisaitl.
Right.
Because I do think that has to work and it has to be earned and everyone's got to be, the McDavid and Draisaitl have to be on board. And there's some question about whether that's the case, but there's been other situations where they could have used him or consistently like play him with one center, give him a center like Strome. There was a while there where Strome, it was Nugent Hopkins, Puljujärvi and Kara were going as a line. That was his best stretch this year. And then Kara got
suspended,
and then they never went back to it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, the bloody blender. I'm so sick of it with the Oilers, like in terms of internal instability on the team. Hitchcock was just as bad as McClellan. These guys just couldn't resist moving around. Anyway, my bad thing, though, was related to Puljujärvi's falling down this year. Mm-hmm. Someone had kept his stat like falls per 60. There's no doubt in my mind that he would have beat even the top shot blocking defenseman. Even Chris Starfish Russell would have had fewer falls to the ice than Jesse Puljujärvi. And I was thinking, I don't remember this. I don't remember seeing this from Puljujärvi. It got worse and worse and worse. And I think there was a rational explanation, and
injury related.
It was injury related, and he wasn't right. And there was something wrong with, actually physically wrong with him this year. And it sounds mm-hmm. like the owners maybe didn't believe that there was, and there's some conflict.
Yeah, there's a real disconnect there, which is disturbing to say the least. I mean, I agree with your observation. I cracked at one point watching game to my wife that he's going to be the series winner of the Hartnell Down Award. Remember they used to have Scotty Hartnell, he was notorious for tumbling to the ice over and over and over again. And fans of his teams had a little hashtag they used, Hartnell Down, every time he went down for no apparent reason. And Jesse did that a lot this past season in particular. He looks like one of those young colts, you know, that they're first learning to walk and getting their legs in the right places and stuff. And this year, I think, like you say, the hips, both of them, may have certainly contributed to it.
It's not good news on a certain level that it's injury. Like, come on, like a young
especially player with core injury.
Jeepers, creepers, that's not good to hear. So that's kind of who knows what's going on there. And it's not good news. Like, maybe surgery can fix it, one can hope. But it was certainly not good. All right, Bruce, what's your number?
I'm going to go with 53, which is the number of shots on net Puljujärvi mustered in 46 games last year, barely one shot per game. This after 136 shots in 65 games the previous year, over two shots per game, so nearly a 50% decline in his shots rate. And really his game, it just fell off across the board. For instance, his Corsi has gone from almost 54% his first year to 51% his second year to under 46% last year. And that's a part of the game you'd expect to at least stay level, if not maybe improve a little bit. But really, and of course, his goal differential suffered badly as well. He was minus 14. He was the worst forward on the Oilers team, despite only playing 46 games. So all the indicators from the numbers perspective are that he deteriorated as a player between his 19 and 20-year-old season. That's not a good sign.
Yeah. We track grade A scoring chance shots, mm-hmm. Bruce, at both mm-hmm. you and I do. And so McDavid and Draisaitl were tied for 1.6 per game.
Mm-hmm.
He got off 1.6 grade A scoring chance shots per game. So we know what an elite scorer gets, right? That's obviously it. But 1.5, 1.6, you know, somewhere probably between 1.5 and 1.7 these shots per game. Chiasson had 1.1 per game. Nugent Hopkins had 1.1 per game. There's, you know, you can see that correlating with their goal scored totals pretty well. As Puljujärvi was at 0.4 per game, right there with Jujhar, Khairov, Milan Lucic, and Ryan Strome, all around 0.4 per game. So these are guys who don't score.
They're all in the single digits, right? Four goals, six goals, zero goals.
Yeah. So for a guy with his shot, and he does have a great one-timer shot. We saw it, I think, once. He scored one goal all year on a one-timer, I believe.
Well, you know, the year that he did score, when he came up and he got those nine goals in fairly short order, he got a whole lot of them the same way by going to the edge of the crease and ramming home rebounds from in tight. It wasn't like he was scoring goals on wicked shots, but he was scoring goals by going to the dirty areas and cleaning up the garbage. And with a guy with his hands and size, that's a difficult thing to cope with for the other team. But I didn't see much of that in his game last year at all.
No, and again, it might have been injury related. Mm-hmm. He just
You have to give the benefit of the doubt to some extent for that. And just say, well, we'll see. I mean, if he comes back and he's declared 100%, then let's see where he's at next. But let's hope that that's going to happen here in Edmonton. I guess that's going to be
I just want to go on to my number, which is 674.
Uh-huh.
And that's the even strength minutes played with Milan Lucic the last 3 years. So he's played more minutes by far with Milan Lucic than any other Oilers player, 674 with Lucic. Mm-hmm. The next two are McDavid, 413, and Nugent Hopkins, 403. So he has had his time on the playing with a really good center in McDavid and a good NHL center in Nugent Hopkins. But 674 minutes with Lucic, who just is, who's been a functional fourth line hockey player for almost all those minutes. So what happened in his second year, Puljujärvi had a, had a good spell, and then he got stuck on a line with Lucic. And
just not a good fit, eh?
Terrible. Lucic can't make a play. He hasn't been able to for a couple of years now. It's the truth. And the sad truth, like, Lucic is a banger. He's an energy player at this point. And, you know, Puljujärvi's whole game is making plays with other players, combining with them, passing the puck. Mm-hmm. And he's got to find someone who's going to look for him to pass him the puck. He needs his Derek Roy, who, you know, who helped out Yakupov for a while there. He just never has found that player who's going to work with him. He works well with himself. And it's sure not Milan Lucic. I mean, what terrible usage. I mean, they were just so determined to use Lucic and to keep using him in a second or third line role. And that's where Puljujärvi was on the team. And it just really has not worked out at all for Jesa. So,
well, it's like one of those puzzles where you say, well, let's figure out the top level and let's figure out the next level. And then let's take whatever is left and jam it together and hope it works.
Yeah. And it hasn't.
It hasn't. So,
all right. Keep, hold, or fold, Bruce.
Oh, well, my inclination is keep, because you're either selling low or you're losing control of the player. I mean, maybe he goes and plays in Europe for a year and you keep his rights, but I think with the new management, new coach, this is the time for the Oilers to proactively go to the player and his agent and say, new sheriff in town, we value you. You need to earn what you're going to get, but we're going to give you that chance to earn it. Here's a one-year contract, and we're going to give you a solid chance to prove what you're worth, and we'll pay you accordingly next year. That would be, to me, the preferred approach.
Yeah. So I think Shirelli was always in Puljujärvi's corner quite firmly and wanted him probably used at the NHL level more than he was used, is my guess. But his coaches were the more reluctant ones, and perhaps some of his teammates. So I see Holland, you know, there's no reason Holland wouldn't be in the player's corner. Tippett seems very much in line with McClellan. I think this is why people were craving a Ralph Kruger, Todd Nelson kind of coach in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. Like an obvious offensive coach, a player whisperer. Because there's a real dissatisfaction in the fan base about the handling of Puljujärvi.
Yeah, well, as a signal, justifiably so.
As a signal of what's wrong with the owner's organization. And so there's a real hope they'll get it right. We'll see if Tippett does. I mean, it's not like McClellan and Hitchcock never developed offensive players in other cities. I think they did. And, you know, maybe the problem is with the player. I think last year the problem clearly was with the player, maybe due to that hip thing. You know, that falling down was, he was not going to have success last year with his balance that he seemed to be lacking. So where am I? I mean, obviously you have to, you've got to offer him a qualifying contract. He's got value. I don't think he's got a whole lot of value, but they could probably get a second round pick for him. I think maybe second round pick you get for Puljujärvi. But that's not a whole heck of a lot of value. I mean, the second round pick has like a 1 in 5 chance of becoming a really good NHL player, if that. So it's not like a second round pick in terms of like, let's trade the guy and get, like, I think you're much better off keeping him and seeing what happens. But I think the option, sometimes it's been discussed, him playing a year in Europe is interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Puljujärvi camp, though, they've made it clear they want him in the NHL. And so the good news is, so I'm also in the keep camp. The good news is I think he's in Edmonton right now.
Yep.
When I heard that, I had a sudden like jolt of, happiness, thinking, good. Like, be here in Edmonton, yes. Like, learn the language, damn it. Commit to being here. Learn the language. I mean, he seems like a great young guy, happy-go-lucky kid. And the fans genuinely like his personality, and they see his potential, and they're all rooting for the guy. And just good news, though. Mm-hmm. You know, I got a little dopamine rush, little jolt.
He's going to be going back to Oulu, Finland, here in a few weeks. Like, he's going to spend most of his summer there, but he is here doing the training and and rehab, physio, all that stuff here in Edmonton for now.
So he'll get to know Holland and Tippett. Like, in theory, they're going to be, you know, Holland, is he here? Like, yeah, I think he is here. I don't think he's like Shirelli running the, wherever Shirelli was running the team.
Unless he's in Barry Fraser's villa. He better be here.
Cabo St. Lucas. Or Shirelli hold up in his final year. Yeah, yeah, sitting there getting advice from Barry Fraser. Calling it in from Mexico. Yeah. So I'm also, like, the owners are they're as short as wingers as they ever were. And listen, if they have, let's say it's Keep, and let's say he's over his falling down issue.
Mm-hmm.
Just there can be a role for this guy. And what you say to him is, listen, you're going to play we're going to start you out on the third line. We're going to find a center for you, and we're going to have a third line. We're going to get a third line. And that's, you know, we hope that's where you earn your job. That's about, you're going to get about 10 or 12 minutes, even strength of game there. But we're going to put you on the second power play unit. We're going to try you there, and we're going to have you kill penalties. How does that work?
Mm-hmm.
That work for you? We're going to put you on the left half wall. That's never been done. I can't figure out. This is what Dave Tippett should be saying. Mm-hmm. Can't figure that out. It's a head scratcher, but we're going to use you there.
Well,
I think that's what you could kind of say is in mind for Puljujärvi.
Given that the second unit last year scored three goals all season, second unit, three goals all season, maybe you should try something different. Just a thought.
Bloody idiots. They're not idiots. They're good. They're smart. Good life.
I understand your sentiment, but yeah, it wasn't working, so it's obviously, you know, looking for new ideas isn't the worst thing, you know?
Yeah. Last year, when they did use Puljujärvi, like, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes on the power play, he was always in the middle, like the bumper guy in the middle, which to me is was the wrong role for him. Like, I wouldn't have mind him down in front of the net.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't have mind him on, like, I think he's really
chimed in a few goals from that spot in the previous year. But so it wouldn't be a bad spot at all.
The middle role, that's kind of where your quickest, smartest player, like Nuge, has been there. Like, I think it's Nuge Draisaitl. That's like you have to be really, really adept at making fast, quick decisions with the puck. And that it's like it's your most offensively brilliant player almost has to be, if you're going to have that bumper guy in the middle, has to be there. And someone who can really fire the puck fast. Now that's what they maybe were hoping from Puljujärvi, but you also have to be able to move the puck from there and control it quickly. And he just wasn't up to that last year. So anyway, all right, Bruce, let's leave it there. Thanks for talking today.
All right. Go yes.
Go yes.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
And in the meantime and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.